This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Bill Ford, Tubbs Studio 705. Nice to have you with us, Boomer and Geo program, and a feel-good football Friday. And G is out until, well, a week from Monday, actually, as he's on vacation, a well-earned vacation, so hopefully
I think he's actually playing golf today and tomorrow and Sunday.
I think the weekend, yeah. It's like a man. So he's got like a split trip, family, man trip, family.
Which is amazing.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, good for him.
Knocking out a couple of things at once. So
I think he was a little bit jealous that I was down at the DR last week playing golf.
Because I sent him some pictures.
Well, I sent him pictures.
Well, he was into those photos, actually.
Yeah, and I said, I'm not thinking of you.
You said that.
Yes.
Yeah, but the problem with that is you sent him the photos, so clearly you are thinking of him.
Well, I was not thinking of you. I was thinking about where I was standing and how beautiful it was.
I can imagine. He did not share any of those photos with me.
He didn't.
No, he didn't. All he did was to basically sit there and tell me how gorgeous where you were was and how he wishes he was there at the time.
Yes,
and it was. Totally understand. Absolutely. Yeah. So I got a couple of things we're going to get to non-sports in a minute, but just quickly on the baseball because it does warrant a couple of minutes. We've got opening day less than 2 weeks away now with the Mets and the Yankees. I forget these games. The Yankees are playing the Brewers. I remember that.
Who's the opening day starter for the Yankees, by the way? Do you know?
Should be Max Fried.
No, it's not going to be him.
Not going to be Max Fried.
No, that would take him off his schedule.
Oh, come on. We're doing that again?
Oh, that's what they said. I didn't say that.
I just assumed it would be Max Fried. Okay,
so whatever. You're not paying attention.
I don't know.
They said that
I wasn't here for a couple days, so I was not paying attention.
If it rains on opening day.
Then what do we do?
Then is he back on schedule?
And it was Marcus Stroman that didn't want the home opener last year because it was going to throw him off schedule.
Yeah, I don't get this, man.
Well, this is this new day and age of baseball and the baseball players. It's sickening, to be quite honest. But when they make the money they make, they can do what they want. My question to you was going to be about the Mets, though, because, you know, they've got pitching. I think they've got pitching issues, but you never know. We'll see. But the thing with Jeff McNeil, So Brett Beatty is going to play second base, I do believe.
An interesting day, his first day at second base.
Well, he did, made a nice play, then made a bad play.
Yeah.
When I ask you about the 2024 Mets, obviously you're going to give me the OMG.
Yeah, Jose Iglesias.
Of course.
Sign him. Let's go get him back in here.
Well, he's in San Diego now, so he can do that.
Oh, he did sign in San Diego?
Minor league deal when you were away. Minor league deal when you were away.
Oh, I didn't know that when I was away.
Yes. See, you're not paying attention.
Oh, I didn't pay attention to that.
That's amazing.
Oh, that hurts me. I was holding out hope that he was going to end up signing with the Mets?
Nope. Minor league deal with the Padres. Even spoke to the media about it. So, but I think you would agree he was a huge part of the story. If I asked you for one other guy that you thought was a big part of the story down the stretch and then even into the postseason, I'm wondering if we're on the same page here.
Yeah, Jesse Winker.
Okay. Yeah, he had his
Francisco
moments.
Francisco Lindor.
Sure. I was going to go Luis Angel Acuna, though.
Acuna, okay.
Who I thought fit in beautifully. And I think at the age of whatever the hell he is, 21, he's so young. He acted and played like a mature veteran, gave you some pop, played a great infield. And I would think, while I know Brett Beatty has a big upside too, you're moving him from where he was a third baseman, moving him to second base. And I don't want to hear about all these rules with the up and down, minor league, major league. They got enough money. They can deal with all that crap. Why would you not put Acuña at second base?
Yeah, that's a big question. Somebody loves them, some Brett Beatty over there, that's for sure.
And I know he was a highly rated prospect.
He is, and I think sometimes when you put a guy where he's not comfortable, you end up really hurting your team.
And you could hurt his progression, too.
And you hurt your defense, you hurt your pitching staff, and you already lost your best catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So now there are two positions that are in a state of flux, if you will.
There's no doubt.
When you obviously, now, Acuña may not be a great hitter just yet. He may not be ready for that. But there's got to be a reason why they are trying to do this. Because it would seem that Acuña would be the perfect fit for that.
I think so. And if you want to, like I said, if you want to give me all the service time crap, not interested in the conversation. Because with the Mets ownership now, to me, you should just play the best guys when they're ready. And I thought he, to me, last year played a major part, or a big part in what they did towards the end. Remember in Atlanta? He was great in Atlanta. And you look at the numbers, he gave you some pop. And I also thought some clutch at bats, plays a great field. And I'm not taking anything away from Brett Beatty. Maybe the Mets just need to figure out if Brett Beatty can play or not at this level. Perhaps that's part of it. I just think if you want to get out to a good... I always think back last year, and they wound up going to the NLCS, so they worked through it. But I will never, ever get the image out of my head or the video of Gary, Keith, and Ron at Citi Field in April and talking about, crappy day,
who's the guy that threw his glove up into the stands?
Oh, the pitcher. Pitcher who then ripped the team and then they got rid of him? I forget that. Right, so you were talking about a team that was like in shambles in April.
Yeah, we were talking about the trade deadline where they were going to trade people like Pete Alonso as opposed to adding people.
Correct.
But I also do remember last year, and I do want to give credit where credit is due. Both Steve Cohen and David Stern said that they believed in the team when the team was not playing mm-hmm. well. And it was easy I remember sitting here talking about their comments saying, well, they have to say that. But I actually believe now that they truly believe that they had a good team. And it was just going to take time to get it going. And I give them credit for seeing it before we saw it, because we were here talking about approaching the trade deadline and getting rid of players as opposed to adding players.
Right, and basically not even discussing the Mets anymore because they were a non-factor and were brutal.
And this is why, and just so I could weave a little hockey in here, is that while the Rangers have been very disappointing, a number of players have had really off years, here they are. They sit within an opportunity to get to that last wild card spot. Now they're going to end up playing Washington in the first round if they get there. Mm-hmm. And the question is can they play against a team within their division that they're used to playing against?
Yeah, well,
can they steal one?
Here's the thing for the Rangers for me, and I truly believe this. Just get in. And the reason I say that is they have the goalie. If Shesterkin gets on a run, they can do damage. We saw it last year. This has been a strange season, because remember early on when they were playing so well, you were like, it was fool's gold. You didn't feel great about it.
I didn't.
And I'm sitting there telling you, well, the record is what it is. The points are what they are. And then they hit just a dead spot in the season where they were awful. Well, here they are. It's a good win last night. Just get in. And you've got the goalie tandem.
I know. But the amazing thing is they had lost four in a row, even though they got points in two of those four losses. But
just get in.
This to go back to the Met discussion, this is like how we felt about, when the trade deadline was happening for the Rangers and they were moving guys around and Chris Drury's making all these decisions. Like last year, David Stearns kind of like was trying to calm the waters, if you remember. And I think that, many people on this station, probably including yours truly, not quite as loud and boisterous as some of the other people on this station, however, still did not believe that team was going to go as far as it did.
No, and a big part of the conversation on this radio station and written about, too, and maybe finally we can end this conversation is, they've got nine teams they've got to jump over. Which is fine, but when you're in June and July and you've got 100 games to go, just take care of your business, and one by one, you can leapfrog over these teams, and the Mets proved it last year.
Every single one of us learned a valuable lesson last year, and that is, don't jump to conclusions too early. And, this team made it all the way to the NL Championship.
Yeah, and gave the Dodgers a little bit of run for their money.
Think about that for a second. I mean, this is a team that last year got off to an awful start. Francisco Lindor is always off to an awful start. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's not going to be the case again this year. Hopefully they'll get out to a reasonably good start. You know, I'm not looking for 12-0. You know, give me like an 8-4 start, something like that. And then build from there. But
well, that was my point about
it. But I think there's real expectations now, especially with adding Juan Soto. Come on.
Well, there's World Series expectations, and anything short of that is not up to par.
If the Dodgers stay healthy, nobody's beating the Dodgers.
Perhaps, although we have seen the Dodgers have the highest payroll in years past and not win. Matter of fact, the Dodgers don't win often.
But if they stay healthy, they're going to win.
Well, we shall see. All right, that's enough of the baseball. So I want to ask you this question. Would you not agree that we are in a time where I would say mostly YouTube has done this. Essentially, everybody's an expert. And if you're an expert in something, you put out, I think that's true.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, there was a new study that is telling you not to eat butter. You got experts out there telling you to make sure you eat everything in butter. You've got magic pills that do great things for you. So I want to bring to you this.
You want a magic pill or something?
I don't. No, I don't. But I want to bring to you this story. I don't. No, I'm good. Okay. This is why I call this a cautionary tale, because a lot of people think that they can fix anything with a pill these days. Would you not agree?
Yeah, if you want Ozempic and you want to lose some weight, sure.
I mean, okay, that's certainly one of them.
What are the long-term effects of taking that pill?
We don't know yet. But there's always a quick fix for everything. So
kind of like a vaccine.
And I'm not going to name the company. There's no reason to. But we have seen plenty of commercials for hair loss. Have we not?
Oh, we're going to go back down that road now?
Why? What do you mean going back down
that
road?
Well, you get mad at me every time. Like, you're bringing it up, but you get mad at me when I say I'll send you to Turkey to get some hair.
You can do what you want with this information. I just want to bring to you, this is a former military man. All right? So this is a guy who has fought for our country. I'm not going to give you his name. You can read about it. It's in the news and in the papers. But he took one of these popular pills for hair loss to help either stop it or grow some hair back and make the hair fuller, which I've thought about in the past, but
I want to send you to Turkey.
It's just going to be what it's going to be. I go bald, I put a hat on.
Kim, go on a nice trip to Turkey.
Now, DR, I'll go there. I'm not going to Turkey. I'm not interested in Turkey. But so
Istanbul's a beautiful city.
So he takes these hair loss pills.
Yes.
He soon begins experiencing anxiety, dizziness, and slurred speech. Perfect. Sounds terrible.
Yeah.
It gets worse. Then his sex drive, as the article says, plummeted, and his genitals shrank and changed shape.
Okay, did he get any hair back, though?
Because
that's the reason he was taking the pills. I guess he didn't read about the side effects.
Well, every pill has a side effect, clearly. I mean, we see that's the one thing that's so terrifying
about
pharmaceutical commercials.
And every human being is different. It affects everybody differently.
Yes, but this guy got hit with the...
What does his genitals look like?
I don't know, but they change shape. Now, I know you've had an issue with that once in the past, which we'll get to.
What do you mean I had an issue with that once in the past?
Well, as I was listening to the podcast yesterday with Al and Eddie, they were talking about the beginnings of the drops on this show. And I actually learned something. As someone on this show, I didn't realize the drops started with your testicles. Am I right or wrong? Al, help me out here. Am I right?
Yeah, the boomer, I have swollen testicles drop.
That's the first one. Did you know that?
I have swollen testicles.
That opened the door. This one was probably the first.
The way you told the story yesterday, I thought swollen testicles was first.
Well, no, but then I sort of revised it because that really opened the door for...
I'm trying to remember why I said I had swollen testicles.
It had to do with Kellen Winslow Jr.'s motorcycle accident.
Oh, that's right. And I was acting as if I were Kellen Winslow. And I was explaining to somebody in my life that I had swollen
testicles. Yeah. You say that so just sternly.
About your junk, you got to talk about it with pride, and you got to feel really good about it.
And we must have been on some remote because it's got an echo to it.
It definitely has an echo to it. There's no question about it.
Here at the Boomer Golf event, sitting in that beautiful ballroom, and Boomer into the microphone, I have swollen testicles.
No, that had to be at a Super Bowl or something like that.
Maybe. I mean, it might not have been.
Well, we can find out when that accident was.
Right, but I feel like that was at a Super Bowl remote. That's what I feel like.
So all I will tell you is don't take these precautions take them seriously.
Don't take them lightly.
Talk to your doctor. Don't just make decisions on your own. We've heard the story with Gio, with the thing he bought in the gas station, how that went for him.
Yeah, he got
Be careful what you put in your body.
Yeah, he got all locked up. I mean, you know, I don't know why you guys would even think about doing this.
I haven't. Don't look at me. But this has become, and I say this, and I'm being very serious, these commercials and these different ways to fix your issues, sometimes not the best way. So just
be careful. This is why sending you to Turkey for the surgery to get your hair plugs would be the perfect thing for
you. I'll tell you what. I'll go to Turkey if Al agrees to go to Africa on that safari.
That I'm not doing.
Yeah, that's not fair, Jerry.
Why is that not fair?
Because you know he doesn't even want to leave Bradley Beach.
Oh, fine, but I don't feel, I'll be honest with you, I don't really feel like leaving the country right now.
So. Right. Oh, by the way,
which seems fair
you're
too.
Doing your fundraiser in Bradley Beach. Is Jerry going to be there with you?
I'd be happy to go. You tell me when.
Certainly an extended invite to Eddie and Jerry, Bradley Brew Project.
When?
Yeah.
April 25th. It's a Friday afternoon.
Maybe.
Get your tickets on my
X account.
You're doing it for 2 hours, right?
I'll be there. No, I'll be there. I'm going to be there 4 hours.
Oh, you are?
There's a good chance I'm there.
Because I know Allie's doing hers, Gio's doing his, you're doing yours.
I'm actually trying to set.
I don't know if.
No. I'm working on something with CeeLo.
All right. And I'm doing mine at the tap room in Huntington.
What's great is we're hitting all these.
Next Saturday.
All these different areas.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Huntington. What I'm saying. And I'm going to. I actually asked Roscona and Marash to come with me.
Okay. That's great. Why not? They're involved.
Yeah, so they're involved. So Marash is actually riding in the event. So. I'm going to have Verscona, Marash, and maybe a couple other surprise celebrity bartenders. 3 to 5 at Huntington's Tap Room.
Nice. We're hitting them all.
Next Saturday during the it'll be
which
the
is the 22nd,
round,
right?
The opening round of March.
March 22nd.
Yeah, the opening round of the NCAA tournament.
Right. Probably be the second round, right, the Saturday. Because
well,
Thursday,
Saturday,
Friday,
right.
And the Saturday, Sunday. It's the second round, which is a great weekend of college basketball. And my buddy who runs Pool Ave Bar and Liquors in Hazlett, very interested in having CeeLo in, so we might be doing
one
there,
well,
too.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, so I'll be March 22nd, next Saturday. Me, Marash, Roscona, a couple other people that I can't really promote, we're going to go and be the guest bartenders 3 to 5 p.m. At the Tap Room in Huntington.
And your April 25th Bradley Brew Project from what time?
Say like 3 to 7, but we'll be there all afternoon.
Awesome. So there you go. We are raising money for a
size. It's good. Everybody's involved. I like it.
We are trying. We'll take a break. We will hear from CeeLo coming up next.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Bill Ford, Tough Studio on this Friday in mid-March. It is the Boomer and Geo program. I am sitting in for Gio, so sitting in for me to my right is one Christopher Lepre. What's up, CeeLo?
Hi there, good morning. So Boomer gave us this great 1995 Jets Richie Kotite anecdote last hour. Great recall from him and Eddie as well about this Week 3 game against the expansion Jacksonville Jaguars. Now you had to call your own plays at the beginning of this touchdown drive because the coach-to-quarterback communication system wasn't working or Kotite was having a tough time with it. Well, thanks to the Twitter X account New York Jets History,
they quickly
tagged us with NBC's TV footage from after that drive.
Okay.
Now, they didn't have you and Kotite and that exchange, which you told the story about, or at least not this clip, but they did have you on the phone. I'm assuming you're talking your offensive coordinator, quarterback, coach,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, Zeke Brakowski.
Okay,
yep.
Something like that. And the initial overlay sounded like this.
Boomer's been the focal point of a lot of criticism on his local radio show here in New York during the week. He had some strong remarks to make about people pointing fingers at him.
And they throw to the soundbite.
Great Don Crickey.
Yeah. And they had the soundbite ready to go with the graphics, WFAN, Mike and the
nice.
Mad Dog, your headshot. And here's what you had to say to Mike and Chris that week.
I'm sick that we're 0-2, and I'm angry that we're 0-2, and I don't like the way we lost either of our games. And 0-2 is not acceptable as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing about people talking about whose fault it is and what, you know, I mean, it's enough. Enough is enough. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where, you know, this season's going to lead, but I'm certainly not going to take anything for granted. And I'm just going to make sure that I'm the best player I can be. And hopefully everybody else feels the same.
Amazing part to me, no disrespect to Mike and Chris, that you spoke that long without them interrupting you. It's pretty impressive.
I put them in their place.
I guess so.
No, I had a battle with them. Actually,
silent.
I enjoyed it. You know, for 3 years I had that show with those guys.
Yeah.
5 o'clock on Fridays. And I purposely did it at 5 o'clock on Friday. I think they all were 5 o'clock Fridays. just to get away from the games of the previous week and talk about the games that were coming up.
Let's get into preview mode here instead of screaming
and yelling
mode,
about people and, you know, and basically what we do here at this business, right, is you try to put people on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
And see if they can say something that's going to be controversial. I always felt like I didn't want to get into that, you know, and just try to be as professional as I could. But I'm telling you, the game before we lost Indianapolis, that game was in overtime.
Mm. And so you got blown out, then you had an overtime loss to go 0-2 right, to start
and
the
then
year.
Then we beat the Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And then two games later, Richie or somebody decided that they were going to take Everett McIver, who was a defensive tackle,
right,
and put him at left tackle. And I'll never forget going in on Wednesday, I'm going, why are we doing this? Because Matt Willig was the left tackle. Now, Matt Willig was an okay player. He was kind of slow and stiff, but he was an okay player, and he would battle his ass off. The guy would battle his ass off.
Sounds like a narc.
And I think that they felt like, you know, listen, this is going to be Bruce Smith over here, and he's probably going to be a little bit too slow to try to block him. Let's put Everett out there, because Everett's a pretty good athlete. But Everett was a converted defensive lineman to an offensive lineman.
Mm.
And they were going to put him at left tackle on the road in Buffalo
against
Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
I'm like, I felt like there was a hit out on me.
And it was your coach.
And I don't remember this conversation, but you can ask him. Mike Kensel was the business manager of the Jets. And he said that at the pregame meal that morning, I said to him, tell my family I love them. Or something to that respect. And lo and behold,
that's
Bruce got me.
Boomer is in.
Boomer's not moving. Yeah, I don't know Boomer's if he is, moving, has right. been knocked unconscious, but he is not moving at all.
Oh, Boomer dead.
Yeah, Boomer dead.
Oh, my God.
He killed Boomer.
Jesus.
And here you are, almost 30 years later, and we're playing drops about you talking about your swollen testicles. My, how we've come full circle.
And later that day, I was in the bus, and you were not in your usual bus because you were all banged up, and you were sitting right in back of me.
Wow, that is pretty wild.
Yeah, just me to think and Stevie about. Cohen.
And I'm sure you didn't dare speak to him back then, right?
No, well, Boomer was telling, who was the young quarterback?
Glenn Foley?
Yes, you were telling him not to say anything, not to trust us because we're radio people.
I was.
Yeah, you wouldn't remember that.
If that makes sense, though.
Awesome.
And as we were pulling out of that, where the buses left, the Bills fans were throwing rocks and bottles.
That's normal.
Oh, my God.
They're great fans, but they also get a little bit...
a little crazy.
Liquored up, as Peyton Manning would say.
I would love to get in the time machine and just sneak onto that bus to watch the Scuzzeri-Esiason dynamic.
Especially
knowing
now,
what we know now.
Right, and how they've become.
Oh, that's great.
It'd be cool.
That would be cool. All right, we talked last hour about Joe Flacco visiting the Giants yesterday and their ongoing search for a quarterback. You got Darius Slayton back with the Giants' 3-year deal, as we know. He says, no worries, despite acknowledging that we still need to figure out that quarterback situation.
Pretty important for a receiver. It's you know who's going to be throwing the ball, so... me, Dave, and Joe had those discussions, and you know, I believe in the vision that they have and the plan that they have, and that they're going to get somebody in here that is going to be able to spin it and be able to lead us in the right direction.
Somebody,
I hope so.
Somebody, anybody, someone with a pulse, you know. Yeah.
Well, Tommy DeVito's on the roster,
he is, yeah,
yeah. I don't
think that's the vision,
no,
I know.
I know Tommy Lugauer would like it to be. He's been on that soapbox for about 2 years now.
I think he's going to take that one.
Well,
to the
he thinks that DeVito's he's a dude, he's a dog, and he does damage.
Which is fine, and there was magic that first year. The problem was
with
last
cheese.
Year. Yes, the problem was last year. It just, it didn't feel like anything.
Well, the team hasn't really played well.
Well, but the year before they didn't play well either, and he had it. Like, it felt like it.
You know, I was telling Sal yesterday, if you remember what Brian Daboll said after the game when they beat the Colts and Drew Locke played quarterback.
About having good quarterback play.
I mean, that right there tells you all you need to know from the coach's perspective. Like, our quarterback play here has been horrific.
Yeah, and they, I do believe they've got, and they will be good defensively again this year.
It seems like this year. And again, this is why part of me says get a veteran quarterback in here. Draft maybe Jackson Dart if you have to go back up in the first round to go get him, and then draft a defensive player like this or the offensive tackle out of LSU, but this Mason Graham is would be a perfect guy for this defense. Travis Hunter would be a perfect guy for this defense. And if I don't think Abdul Carter is going to fall, but if he did, he'd be a perfect guy for this defense.
I do think the Golston addition is pretty good. He played really well last year.
Yeah, they're doing things, but they got to have the most important, at least somebody of consequence or significance at quarterback. Somebody.
Yeah.
Not just a rookie quarterback throwing him out there.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
I'll start the season with Joe Flacco. I'll start the season
as
with
long
Russell
as you
Wilson.
Have a
I'll
young
start
quarterback
the season
ready
with Aaron
to go.
Rodgers. As long as, yeah. Because those guys aren't going to last 17 weeks. Maybe Russell will. I don't think Joe or maybe Aaron probably will too. I don't know.
All right, we had the Flacco visit yesterday. Russell Wilson's coming in today after visiting with the Browns. I know you did the DeMarcus Lawrence thing. Get the audio for you real quick here. So he's now a former Cowboy, having joined the Seahawks, and wants to make sure everyone knows that.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
There's a guy who made. He's just
we're
pissed
here.
Off.
That's we're all. Here.
This is just some Seahawks blog.
I mean, you ain't going to win one in Seattle either.
He made $130 million with the Cowboys. They paid him. Like, there's no disrespect. It's over. I mean,
yeah, but what I'm saying, like, he's not gonna, he thinks he's going to win a Super Bowl in Seattle.
With who? They don't have a quarterback
Sam
either.
Sam Darnold?
Oh, I forgot about Darnold. That's right. I mean, but even still, they're not winning a Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. So you can say whatever you want about Dallas. He's going to Seattle for the money.
Of course he is. And that's all it's about.
And I would too.
Most people will.
Yeah.
And
well,
he
caught the attention of Micah Parsons, who went back at him on X. This is what rejection and envy looks like. This is some clown bleep.
So wow. That. Rejection and envy.
ESPN says several members of the Cowboys organization were upset with Lawrence's comments. Lawrence then went back at Parsons, noting that the Pro Bowl edge rusher's social media use is quite substantial. Quote, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left.
Wow.
Now it's kind
of
getting good now.
There's a lot of happiness in that locker room down there, Jerry. What the hell's going on?
I didn't think there was. I thought all these guys were pretty tight. Maybe not.
Well, they were, I guess, at one point, but not so much now.
That said, I'd rather have Micah Parsons at this point than DeMarcus Lawrence.
Well, I can't wait to see what they look like this year.
Don't know. Good question.
This from Adam Schefter within the last half hour or so, developing a, we love sleeper teams, right? A sleeper team that has emerged and is now making a push to sign former Rams turned free agent wide receiver Cooper Kupp is the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that's not. That's been in the,
he says they're a sleeper team.
For 2 weeks.
I'm telling you
not.
What he, wrote.
Really?
So.
I've actually felt the whole time.
You know, Adam Schefter may tweet out at you, shut up, Jerry Recco.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. But that's been,
or
that
make
has,
up your mind.
That has been out there for a couple of weeks now, the Cooper Kupp. Dallas was the perfect landing spot for him.
All right. Well, apparently his decision could come as early as today.
Nice.
So there you go with that.
Well,
why would he go there? They're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Shut up, Boomer.
Apparently it's them or the Seahawks are considered the finalists right now.
Oh,
for
yeah.
real?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
What yeah.
Good.
That's
well, they go team up with DeMarcus Lawrence.
Big East tournament at the Garden. I mentioned last hour we don't have a substantial amount of highlights from the St. John's opener, but here was Mink Man with his final call yesterday.
Let it run down. And this is a victory for St. John's here at Madison Square Garden. Quarterfinal round of the Big East basketball tournament. Survive in advance as St. John's will advance to the semis tomorrow night with a 78-57 win over Butler.
There you go.
Hockey Hall and
this was a sleeper game.
Yeah.
I mean, they got out to such a... Butler wasn't coming back on them.
Well, Rick Pitino wasn't thrilled despite being up by 11 at the half.
I know it didn't go the way one to the end the half, but Kadari with 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. How do you like what you've seen from
him?
Got
to play better defense.
Says it all.
I mean, really, what would be great? St. John's, UConn. That's what you want.
Yeah.
I think everybody wants to see
that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see whether or not Marquette and Creighton can do something about that.
Oh, UConn smoked Villanova last night, 73-56. So, yes, you get the Johnnies and Marquette, 6:30, and then UConn and Creighton in the nightcap. The Rangers were in St. Paul last night trying to avoid a 5-game skid. They never trailed in the game, but twice allowed the Wild to come back and tie in the third period, which meant overtime, where they have not fared well this season. However,
Panarin leaves it for Miller. Back to Panarin. In deep. Drops it back. Schneider makes a move. Backhander, he scores!
Oh, yeah!
What a shot! By Braden Schneider!
an overtime winner.
Nifty move to the back sure end, is. Not known for his offense.
Yeah, you know, he should be known for his offense. He's a better player offensively than people give him credit for, because we've seen him do some stuff like this. Same thing with Keandre Miller.
Yeah, I mean, you like, just don't see like it an consistently enough.
Right, and sometimes Keandre likes to throw the puck away in the middle of the defensive zone, which is a little bit crazy, but he's an incredible athlete, and hopefully he's going to grow up and continue to be the player that everybody hopes him to be. I don't know. We'll see. But it is a... this thing about Matt Rempe now, this is two games in a row where he got screwed twice.
I mean, look, the one from what from Winnipeg, you see that happen sometimes.
Come on, he got pushed into the goal.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm saying you see it happen because they react to contact with the goalie. In fact, last night's overtime goal, they were checking for goalie interference.
Yeah, no, I feel
but
bad
last
for this
night
kid.
Was ridiculous.
Look at the chick behind him.
I know.
I mean,
she's
banging on the glass.
Of course she is.
Now, look, we acknowledge he's had some bad hits and some bad moments, but you've got to be able to skate on the ice.
By the way, the last two games, he has basically gotten screwed.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a Ranger fan, so I'm going to be biased.
This
I like the guy.
Egregious.
I like the guy, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's just skating, and a guy runs into him and falls over.
Two guys.
Right, well, the one guy, the little guy, though, who went down.
Are you saying there's flopping in the NHL?
You mean embellishment?
That too.
Yeah, there's embellishment.
It doesn't even have to be embellished because he's a massive human, but you can't call it interference when he's just skating in a straight line.
His hockey has gotten better.
100%.
It's gotten a lot better.
Fourth line's been very effective.
Yes.
Brodzinski scored last night back in his home city.
That was
60
great.
Family members there.
Yeah.
So they've played well. It was good to see them. Rempe got an assist on that goal.
And
so
I'll
they win the game.
The other thing, too, is for the Devils, man, again with the injuries.
Let's get to
that. They've won three in a row.
Yeah. Though. And here you go.
Credit
last night,
to them.
Edmonton. At the Rock last night, and the Devils did emerge victorious.
He's in the corner for Brett. Skates away from Emberson. Works it to Nemitz. Nemitz doesn't tee it off. Gives it away. Then he drives one home. He got it back from Brett. And Shimon Nemitz extends the Devils' good fortune. They lead 3-2.
And a good win for them, because I turned this game on in the Ranger intermission, and within like 5 seconds, Leon Draisaitl scored, and I was like, oh boy. But they come back in the third period. They win the game 3 in a row. No Jack Hughes. Dougie Hamilton ruled out for the year, and Siegenthaler.
It's unbelievable that they've won 3 in a row. It's a credit to them and what they're doing. But hey, you know, how about Connor McDavid in a Ranger uniform? What do you think?
I think you're getting a little ahead of yourself.
You know, maybe Messier's in his ear. What happened in New York ain't a bad thing.
What happened to a one shift, one period, one game at a time?
I'm looking big picture, and I'm going big game.
So if it's your narrative, we go one shift, but it doesn't.
He's got 1 year left in Edmonton.
Fair enough.
Is that it?
I don't know that he's going to leave there, but we'll see.
You never know. Who would have thought that Gretzky would have left there?
Yeah, I suppose.
Who would have thought that Messier would have left there?
Yeah, I guess. Cap's going up. You know, he wants to get paid. Draisaitl's already gotten paid.
Net score.
116-110, they lost. Knicks Warriors tomorrow night. I'll get you some Steph Curry stuff next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo program on a Friday. It's cloudy, but it's going to be nice at 56 degrees today, so that's not terrible. I want to do this college thing next hour. I thought here, this was interesting to me because we've had a conversation many times, things that kind of permeate themselves on social media. What is the masses? What's like the loud minority? And I think we've gotten to a point with Twitter, for instance, or X, that people get their news mostly from that now.
I think so, yes.
I think you get both sides. I think
You don't know what's accurate and true. You got to make sure you're getting it from a reliable source.
100%. There's no question about that. You don't know. But I do think you do get all different sides of the stories on social media now. And I think X is, you know, if you are far left, you're far right, you're going to be fed what you want to see. You can also explore and find the opposite vision. But I find it interesting with sports. And I don't know how relevant this is. That's why I'd like to have the conversation and ask you. If I asked you, Al, what, let's just leave it to the 9 pro teams in this city. What pro team in the city has the most Twitter followers, and what do you think the number is?
I'm going to say it's the Yankees.
Okay, that's a heck of a guess because you nailed it. The Yankees are number one. What do you think their following is?
I'm going to say they have 1.5 million followers.
Right, they have 3.8 million. It's a big number. I think a very big number.
It speaks to their popularity.
No question about it.
It's not, obviously not just Yankee fans from around here. It's Yankee fans all over the globe.
Now, hearing that,
I would, for, and as I read in the story, my first thought would be the Mets would be second. The Mets are not second.
No.
The second team would be.
Knicks.
You are correct. Look at you. The Knicks are second. The
Definitely.
Knicks have 2.4 million Twitter followers.
I don't think, like, we tend to forget just how popular the Knicks truly are.
Well, and that, so I'm getting to a bigger point here. Third, and I think this has to do more, I really do believe this is more internationally, because I don't think, if I asked you out right now who would be third, I'd like to, I don't think you're going to give me the right answer.
I'd say Mets.
Wrong. Next.
No. Giants.
Nope. Next.
Rangers?
Nope. Next.
Probably Jets.
Nope.
Fugazi
Next.
Sport. Mets. Like soccer.
What'd you say?
Mets?
Uh-uh.
God dang it.
The Brooklyn Nets. Have 2 million Twitter followers. Now, I do believe.
No,
but hold on a
second.
No. But here, you got to remember one thing about this, though.
They bought
the NBA.
They bought them.
The NBA is an international game.
The Nets buy everything.
The Nets did have Kevin Durant. And remember, they paid him a year to not play, Boomer?
Yeah.
They did have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. It is an international sport. So that doesn't shock me when I think about it. But when I first read it, I was like, the Nets. Amazing. So they're a third with 2 million, okay?
Yep.
The Giants come in fourth at 1.9 million. Any idea who's fifth?
The Red Bulls.
No.
It's got to be the Mets.
It's the Rangers.
The Rangers.
The Rangers have 1.5 million Twitter followers, more than the Jets, more than the Mets. How does that make, and we treat it like it's the plague. And yet I'm looking at this, so my question would be, how relevant and important is Twitter then? Because that, to me, I would have thought, when I first saw the article, my thought would be Mets, Yankees, Jets, Giants, take it in whatever order you want. They would be the top four teams with the biggest presence on X.
Yeah, but I think like the Yankees definitely have the...
They do.
Yankees and the Giants, but both of them have two of the biggest fan bases around here.
But the Giants.
And then
fan,
I would go Knicks third, and then I would go... Then I would go Mets.
Okay, but the Rangers come in ahead of the Mets and the Jets. Like, that tells me something. I don't that like people care. And I was talking to Al about this before the show, like how, to me, sports in this day and age really has become just niche. And I think all of these teams have their fan bases, and it's very difficult to speak to the masses these days, because now if you want something, whether it's us, whether it's satellite radio, YouTube, whether it's Spotify, like you can go to Spotify and find, or even the Odyssey app, and find a podcast on your team, and you can consume anything you want on your team or your sport, and it's a big deal to you. But to me, I was just blown away that the Rangers are ahead of the Jets and the Mets, two of the bigger teams in this town.
Well, I've always said here that the Ranger fan base is enormous. It is a big fan base, and it is a very passionate fan base. You can find all sorts of Ranger stuff all over Instagram.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's crazed. I mean, the Islanders and the Devils have fans. They have a fan base, and certainly the Islanders have, and the Devils have, the Cups to speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not as big.
It's not.
As the Ranger fan base.
The Devils came in, it's almost 800,000 followers
it's
on
still,
X.
It's still good
it's
for that
It's still
team.
A big number, for sure. Yes. And the Islanders came in at 600. Al, can you check for me, just for context, check the Red Bulls for me? Because I am curious. Sandy comes in with all their stuff. I'm curious
how they
do. I
just wonder how many of these are real followers.
Well, I mean...
I mean, you can amplify your following.
No, that you can. I don't know that that's a thing anymore, though. I feel like that's been kind of weeded out. Okay, I don't know about North Korean followers, but
okay.
What do you got there, Al?
They have 233,000.
That's not bad either.
Yeah,
that's a big number.
But again, like this big North Korean contingent of Ranger fans.
Okay, I'm sure there are, but there's not 1.3 million of them.
Trying to break into your IRS W-2s and everything.
1.5 million fans for the Rangers to me was eye-opening. That's all. And like I said, the way we talk about or don't talk about it is stunning when I look at numbers like this. But then I come back to the question, how relevant are these numbers and how relevant is social media? And I don't know the answer.
Well, I'll tell you what. It is a huge, huge investment vehicle now when it comes to professional sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the NFL now is participating in selling 10% of private equity into their teams.
Yeah.
There are funds that are now, you know, putting huge, huge swaths of money together to be able to buy into these teams, which is really amazing, actually.
And it's most of them are. I saw the Niners, too, I think.
They all are now, because the NFL finally has joined everybody else and said, hey, you want to make some money, guys? You can. You can sell 10% of your team for like $700 million.
Yeah, well, good for them.
Good for you.
Jerry, just an update. The Peter Schwartz's Dragons, 334.